Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. Available at Centra and Supervalu stores nationwide. Great tasting coffee, no messing.
Now, COVID-19 has made fundamental and long-lasting changes to the way we live our lives, hasn't it? Now, not just in Ireland, but across the whole world. And as we continue with social distancing measures and deal with the immediate issues, we also need to tackle the disease in the longer term. Ultimately, it seems the way out of all of this will involve vaccines, new medicines, or both. And joining me now on the line to fill us in on developing a vaccine for the coronavirus is Professor Luke O'Neill from the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. Professor O'Neill, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm sure your time is precious. How are you?
No problem, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Now, before we get into specifics, can you tell us what a vaccine is and how it actually works?
Absolutely, Jen. Yeah, vaccines are a marvellous thing. They were discovered over 200 years ago. The very first one was for a disease called smallpox. And what they are is they're like sort of a piece of a germ or a germ that's been inactivated in some way. You inject that into a person, the immune system recognizes it, you know, because it doesn't cause disease because it's not the whole germ. And then the immune system remembers. And then when you're reinfected, you're now protected. So, and there's loads of fantastic vaccines like measles, for instance, polio out there. So basically they have been, we reckon they're the biggest contribution to human health because they prevent disease, which is exactly what you want, you see. So they're a wonderful advance. And of course, in the case of COVID-19, they are the answer, Jim, because you can imagine if the vaccine's discovered, people get vaccinated and don't get the disease, and therefore they're protected, and then we stop the whole thing in its tracks. That's why we think vaccines are our number one option, really.
Can I ask you, how long do they usually take to develop?
Yes, years and years. I mean, I've been in this business for a long time myself. You know, they've spent years trying to get a vaccine for malaria, for instance, and still haven't got one, by the way, in spite of all that effort. HIV, AIDS, they never got a vaccine for that. They have got vaccines for many things, as I say. It used to take 4, 5, 6 years because you've got to be very careful. It's got to be safe, you know. You do what I call trials with a small number of people. Then you do a second trial with more people. You measure everything carefully. And finally, if you're lucky, you get a vaccine. Now nowadays, it's remarkable. It's much faster because new technologies are there that are being used. It's a bit like there's an emergency now, obviously enough, and everybody's behind it now. There are something like 81 vaccines now being tested as we speak for this virus. That is absolutely unprecedented. There haven't been that number for malaria hardly in the past 20 years, you see. So, and remember, the virus only was discovered at the end in December. So but that's why we're somewhat optimistic. There's so many people trying to, you know what I mean? 7 are in humans as we speak. You may have heard of one in Oxford that people are especially optimistic about. But it's all systems go, basically.
Are you positive that it will be found in the next few months or the next year?
You've always got to be cautious in this business. And if you're a scientist, you're sadly enough, you're well used to things not working out the way you want because things can go wrong. You know, so we've got to be careful. But I am certainly optimistic. Many of us are saying there's a good chance this will happen. There's two reasons for that, Jen. One is a very similar virus was called SARS that you may remember. That was in 2012. Mm-hmm. They managed to get a vaccine for that. And that's like a cousin of this virus. So if it works for a cousin, it might work for this one. That gives us hope. The second thing is what you need to get, and you may have come, what's amazing again is people are now becoming immunologists all over Ireland. It's marvellous. You may have heard of antibodies. Mm-hmm. And the immune system makes these antibodies. That's a really important part. And the antibodies are the way to kill germs. And lo and behold, there's good evidence that this virus will cause a good antibody response in people. And we've seen that. So again, that gives you another reason to believe, I guess.
And what are the challenges involved in manufacturing a vaccine for COVID-19?
Yeah, there's a whole load. I mean, to be honest, they've got that a bit better. So they've got various vaccines over the years too. The group in Oxford are interesting. They are, and by the way, a Dubliner is the head of that institute. His name is Adrian Hill, who I've worked with over the years. I've worked with him over the years. I worked on malaria with him.
Is there some special prize for the person who discovers the vaccine? Is there a bonus, a prize, a medal?
No, well,
nothing.
Well, scientists are a competitive bunch, as you probably know, and they want to win the race, don't they? And they're human beings as well. So there's a bit of glory, maybe. Who knows? There could be a big prize in this.
Well, maybe we could get Adrian to front the Paddy's Day parade or something, you know, if he comes home.
Listen, they'll be making statues to the people who discover this vaccine. Look. I mean, look at the world economy collapse. A vaccine is a way out of that. So,
absolutely.
So in other words, it's a very tricky thing, but again, it's just a very careful process. You've got to watch for safety, first of all, make sure it doesn't harm people, and then make sure it's efficacious. And sadly, again, it just takes time. You can't really, I mean, to sped it up usually, it's probably going to go as fast as ever at the moment.
And how long do you think it might take for one to become available to the public?
That's $64 gazillion dollar question.
Tell me. What do you think?
I'll give you an analogy. It's a bit like a horse running the Grand National. There's a number of fences you need to jump. You can still fall at the last fence. So people are anxious about sort of predicting that, you know?
Yeah.
But having said all that, if we have a following wind and if, you know, everything goes well, it could be September, October, November time. The Oxford Group have said that. Now, again, they put lots of cautiousness around that. Last night on Tony Fauci, have you heard of him? He's the key advisor to Trump. He's an immunologist, so I know. He's saying a year, or even January, he mentioned last night. So these guys are on the inside. They're seeing what progress is being made. We watch them very closely. Now, these people are very careful often. They're scientists. They don't want to overdo it in a way. Yeah, so that's the sort of time frame. It's not going to be next month or in 3 months even. So
a lot of pressure on the lads in Oxford.
Well, they're used to it. I mean, this is the business we're in. Remember, I've been doing this for quite a while.
You said some very positive things. I mean, just in our conversation now, that would make me even more hopeful now than before our chat.
Yeah.
For example, that it is you came up with a vaccine for SARS, and that was a cousin of COVID-19.
Yeah,
so that gives me a little bit of hope. And the fact that there's so many people working on this more than any vaccine ever, that's happened.
Absolutely.
That's made me very positive as well. So there's some little positive things to take, isn't there?
Oh, there is. That's my nature. Scientists are like humans. Some are pessimists, some are optimists. You know, I'm a kind of hopefully an optimistic realist. But we have to have hope, haven't we, Jen? I'm very keen to get the message out there. You've never seen an effort like this before in terms of science and medicine rushing in behind this for obvious reasons. And the main thing scientists really want is just to make a difference, to see if we can get somewhere, because how devastating this is for people.
Can I ask you, what are your thoughts, you know, regarding those who have had COVID-19 already? Where are they now in terms of being immune to the disease, in your opinion?
That's the other key question, because what we hope is that when you've had it, you won't get infected again, and secondly, you won't be infectious yourself. That's the way the immune system is supposed to be, by the way. We evolved an immune system to do exactly what I said. And of course, that's got to be the aspiration here. And again, it's the usual thing. We don't know for definite, but again, there's positive signs. I'll give you one example. So they inspected monkeys, which sadly we have to use animals sometimes because it's too, you know, dangerous to go to humans. And
I've seen Contagion. I get it. I've seen the movie.
So this is one of the good things. They did it with monkeys, and the monkeys were protected. Isn't that good? So now monkeys aren't a million miles away. That's the first good sign that we would say. The second is yesterday. Now, again, I got to read this myself. Every 15 minutes, a new discovery is being reported on this thing.
Okay.
So yesterday, a study in South Korea. And they're saying, I haven't read it yet, just a headline, so I must go into it. But I believe it looks interesting because they're a good group. We always look at how good the scientists are behind the study. They've said that they've looked at people who were infected, and they've evidenced that they didn't get reinfected. So we're going to see that now as well. Now, again, we've got to be sure about that, because if that's wrong, that changes your view on things, obviously. But the hope is, and with the cousins, you do see protection. So MERS, here's a good one for you. MERS is another virus in this family.
Mm-hmm.
They showed 4 years protection if you'd had MERS. Isn't that fantastic? So again, based on the cousins being similar, based on the monkey studies, and now this South Korean study, we're definitely heading in that direction, that if you've had it, you'll get over it and you will be protected and you won't be spreading it, which is the key thing we're trying to limit. Remember, it's all about stopping the virus spreading. That's the key goal of all of this, really.
So based on those theories, it's looking pretty positive, but nothing is proven just yet. We hold our breath.
It's a funny time, Jen. The next 4, 6, 8 weeks are critical, because all these things are going to be revealed in a way. All the science is happening, and the results will begin to come out in dribs and drabs. And every day, all of us now are waiting for these. It's like, you know, you're waiting for waiting for Christmas in a way. We're all waiting for these things to come out. So again, we're going to be in a much better position in 4, 6, 8 weeks, I predict. We'll know a lot more, and there will be these signs that we're beginning to beat the thing, you know, and begin to see progress. And we're all waiting now for this next 4, 6 week period.
Can I call you in 4 to 6 weeks?
Absolutely.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, listen, get back to work. You're a busy man. And thanks so much. Thanks so much for taking our call today. That is Professor Luke O'Neill. His time is in high demand, so I'm so grateful for him coming on the show and explaining that to us. And hopefully we'll be back with him in 4 to 6 weeks with some more positive news.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.